and welcome to the Laughing Place podcast. My name is Doobie, and I'll be your host today. And with me today are Captain John.
Ahoy there, mateys.
Fanboy.
Hi. And I got nothing.
You've never got nothing lately.
I know. It's hard.
You say, yo, what's up, and like change things up a little bit.
I'm saving that for a... Never mind. I'm saving that for a special occasion.
And Rebecca.
Hello from soggy Florida. It's raining.
Hallelujah.
We needed
it's
the rain.
It's raining water. Hallelujah.
It's raining water.
Podcast at laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408. Let's hear from you. We got some voicemails to play today. But before we get to that, we are going to get into our first subject, which is the Finding Nemo submarine voyage?
Yes.
Yeah, which, cause it was
inspired by Disney's presentation of a Pixar Animation Studios film, Finding Nemo.
We're out here in Florida, so none of us have ridden it yet, but one of us will be riding it soon.
But it's wet enough out here to equal the submarine lagoon.
You got that right. So one of us will be riding it soon, but mostly I just want to talk about how excited are we about the return of the submarine. When did it close, Fanboy?
1999.
8 years ago.
Right?
Something like that, yeah. I'm guessing.
It was after New Tomorrowland, but...
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive.
So 8 years later, it's making a triumphant return with a whole new theme, and it seems to be getting a lot of attention. It's being pushed really, really hard in California. It's got a lot of attention on the boards. People are truly excited about this attraction. How excited are you, Captain?
That was one of my favorite rides to go to at Disneyland, so I'm excited to see it brought back. Though, I mean, basically the ride as it is like what's over at the Seas, right, except it's in the water, basically.
That's what I thought, but Fanboy apparently set me straight this morning.
What's that?
Pay attention,
I was researching. It actually closed on 1998.
Thanks for that
correction.
Okay,
no, but as I said, it's basically like the ride at the Seas, right? Except it's underwater.
It's different.
Well, okay.
I mean, there's similar attributes, but it's a different projection system, different elements. The ride at the Seas Pavilion doesn't have Mount Wanahakalugi, and the ride in California doesn't have real fish.
So, given all that, Fanboy, and since you actually will be writing this in a week, how excited are you about this?
I'm really excited. You know what I was really excited about?
What's that?
They had a rededication ceremony.
Yeah?
And they dedicated the ships as actual Navy ships when it opened in 1959. And then when it closed, before they actually had a decommissioned ceremony with Paul, I guess, and some Navy dude. And they recommissioned it with...
Which is ironic, because Paul went to Old Navy.
Oh! Witty.
Yeah, go on.
And they recommissioned the subs with Ed Greer, and it was a nice ceremony for cast members. I mean, they issued some publicity shots, but it was a nice touch that they actually recommissioned it. I hope that this time, when the attraction closes, perhaps again, that they remember to book a decommissioning ceremony so the Navy doesn't surprise them like they did last time of can't close until you decommission them.
Is that how that went?
That's how the story goes.
Okay. You're pretty excited, Rebecca?
Yeah, it was among my favorite rides. It was actually my dad's favorite, so I guess in some ways, I got dragged to it. But I always enjoyed it, so it's nice to see the subs once again floating around the lagoon, and they're in the shadow of the Matterhorn. So, yeah, I like the motion. I love when they add any motion back to Tomorrowland.
That's a good point with the People Mover / Rocket Rods closed and the subs closed. Cause I know when you're on the train there, they say, Tomorrowland is truly a land on the move. And then you look around and, okay, there's those Chevron cars, but I'm not really sure what you're talking
it's
about.
It's like there's no People Mover, there's no subs.
Did you see the weird press release Disneyland issued today?
I was going to get to that next, Fanboy. What did that say? I hear they're trying something really, really new and earth-shattering.
They said that Disneyland's going to be open an eighth day. Because they'll keep the attraction open up to 2.5 hours after park closing so that if you get in line before the park closes, you can still ride it. Which, if I'm not mistaken, is the way nearly all the attractions at Disney theme parks work. I mean, with the exception of Kilimanjaro safaris because of, nighttime stuff. But I remember being on Rocket Rods like an hour and a half after the park closed. And when you have a capacity as pathetic as the Finding Nemo submarine voyage – you're going to have to do that.
But given that capacity and the anticipated long lines. I know there was some thought or rumors that perhaps they wouldn't be doing this, that they would be closing the attraction early.
But I think it's funny that they issue a press release saying, basically saying, we're going to keep doing what we always do.
Yeah.
Look how special we are.
And I like the way they titled it. Like, Disneyland adds an eighth day.
Like, something exciting. Like, I was expecting an after-hour party or something.
Totally. When I saw that headline, because I actually had my BlackBerry when I – or I don't use a BlackBerry, but I had my PDA when I got that. And I'm reading it in the car. Disneyland, they're like, they're going to have an overnight party for the subs. This is so cool. Just like the old days. And what's – they do this all the time. What's the big deal?
Well, it could have been worse. They could have said it was powered by a 747 or something.
In the press release, it basically, you know, says, you know, guests that are waiting in line will be given an activity book so they can find Nemo, and there'll be food stations for those that can't make it in the queue. And you're like, they're basically just issuing a press release saying, we're going to have long lines, but we'll do something for you.
They are going to have some long lines.
It makes me wonder how long that will actually last.
What?
Like, how long until the hype dies down, considering the submarine is like a big hoopla?
I think it will have long lines for a long time to come.
Not only does the hype have to die down, but, I mean, there's no getting around the mathematics. I mean, Fanboy computed earlier that the subs can handle something like 14 or 15,000 people maximum per day.
Based on the capacity I was given.
Right, based on the capacity of the attraction and the length of time the park's open. And, you know, if you've got 50,000 people at Disneyland, which is not at all absurd for summer months, and the attraction can hold 15,000, and this isn't an attraction that's going to discriminate based on thrill or anything else, pretty much just claustrophobia. Yeah, I think we could see some lines for a while.
Yeah. Well, just look at the popularity of the musical and the attraction here.
Exactly.
I mean, both of those have large capacity. I mean, the Nemo show can only happen so many times in a day.
Right. So now that's a combination of both the submarines and Nemo. Because, I mean, if you would have just brought back the submarines the way it was, it would have been a long line, too.
Right.
So now you add something different, which is also popular. That's like a double whammy of longness.
So it should be fun. And then, of course, with any new attraction, I presume this won't be any different. You have a certain percentage of downtime. And it'll be fun out there in California. Fanboy, let us know what it's like when you get back.
So any of you who go to the subs in the next few weeks, we'd love you to call in. The number is 866-718-9408. Tell us about your line experience. We'd love to hear what it's like, because we won't be there for a while. So bring us in and let us know what that's like.
It's weird for me, because I usually, you know, as a frequent Disneyland visitor, I'm not used to waiting in line. I mean, I go on it when it's soft opening, and so I don't have to worry about it, you know, because it's not open to everybody. And then I go on it on slow days. I mean, this thing's going to be busy every day. So I'm kind of preparing myself emotionally for actually having to wait in line.
I know. I think the last real line I can remember waiting in would be the Rocket Rods.
Rocket Rods, yeah.
Oh, like hour, 90 minutes.
Yeah. Uh-huh, like a really long line
and
would be Rocket Rods.
Studying that future map of how they're expanding it. Like Anaheim Stadium.
Maybe Soarin' during the AP previews.
No, in California?
Uh-huh.
No, I don't
it wasn't even
think
that
they
okay.
got that bad.
I remember going to all the preview days I could before DCA got really crowded.
Yeah, I remember thinking the same thing and never saw another crowd as big as what we experienced at those events.
Until Super Soap weekend. Mm-hmm. But that's a whole other story.
Yeah, I remember how glad I was I bought my annual pass before they stopped the sales of DCA annual pass.
Though, yet, of course, even for the preview, Superstar Limo nobody ever rode.
mm-hmm. Superstar Limo. That's like my favorite, you know, there's like Light
that
Tragic
is.
And stuff, but Superstar
right.
Lame-O. That's
Superstar
so cool.
Lame-O.
And I like the ride. In the wake of the reopening of the subs, we've got...
The wake.
That's pretty funny. We got, No, it wasn't. We got the...
It's a sub, but it doesn't give a wake.
What?
It's a sub, it doesn't have wake.
Sure, it does.
Really?
It's just really minuscule
it's
wake.
It's not like a
Well, part of it's
boat,
over water.
But just a little... Well, not necessarily all the time.
These...
No, they go underwater.
Remember, you dive.
You dive.
Dive.
DTM. Anyway, listen to this.
Hi, Doobie Rebecca, Fanboy, and Captain John. This is Histon98 calling once again. And I have another idea for a topic you could talk about on the podcast this week. With the Finding Nemo submarine voyage opening in Disneyland next week, it got me thinking about... other rides I would like to see come back to the Disney parks that have been gone for a while. And it made me interested to hear what your ideas might be on if you could bring back any ride back to any of the Disney parks, which ones would you pick and why? If I had to pick, I'd probably pick submarines, for one, from Disneyland, so that's happening. But maybe also I'd probably pick Country Bear Jamboree from Disneyland, because I never really got to ride that, and I always would have liked to have seen it more often. So, yeah, just want to hear what you guys would pick, and hope to hear your thoughts soon. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Hista. Once again, 98, my favorite and frequent voicemail caller.
Your favorite? You're picking your...
Hey, whatever happened to Magnet?
Magnet, where are you? We miss you. There's an attraction that's not... No, never mind.
I got one from Disneyland Park.
What would that be?
Wizard of Bras. Just because I think it adds a level of...
Support?
Absolutely, to the theming of Main Street.
Seriously, anything immediately come to mind?
Immediately?
Journey into Imagination.
That's still here.
Oh, not really.
Well, not really. I'd bring back the Country Bears, too.
Yeah, that was the first one that came
I'd also bring back Horizons, because Mission Space is terrible.
Oh, I would bring back Horizons. I missed Horizons.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to limit...
Sorry to all the Mission Space fans. I'm sorry.
I tried to limit my thoughts to things that are kind of still around in the way the subs were that, you know, kind of could be brought back, it seems.
Ah.
Tapestry of Nations.
Yeah. Aww.
You know, they brought it back for New Year's Eve at Epcot. Not the parade, but the puppets.
That
so
one's
it's still
well,
somewhere.
Then they did Parade of Dreams or whatever that thing was. Tapestry of Dreams.
Yeah, I would go back to Tapestry of Nations, actually.
Oh, I know one. Doug Live.
Disney's Doug Live with Patty Mayonnaise and the whole
gang.
That
was so much fun.
That was a good show.
It was in the ABC Theater.
Yes.
A theater that's not used for anything
but
special
exactly.
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It's empty. And that was a fun show.
Another one I thought would be cool was the Keel Boats. That was always a fun way to... That was my favorite way to go around the river, because they were kind of scary.
Yeah. There's a reason they closed.
We were at my first trip to Disney World. We got a phone call that the Keel Boats have overturned to Disneyland, and they never opened again.
I'd bring back the canoes to Walt Disney World.
Oh.
They're not here?
No.
No, just for canoe races for the cast.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because I've talked to some cast members that do canoe races, and I'm like, wow, it's weird that they maintain those canoes just as a, you know, a cast activity, and they go, who said anything about them maintaining it?
And then one more for me anyway. I'm kind of torn, either the Discovery Island boats or the Swan boats at the Magic Kingdom.
Swan boats? I mean, didn't we just get over – I guess it would keep the submarine voyage – tradition alive of bringing back a capacity attraction with no capacity whatsoever.
But no one wanted to ride the Swan boats. It doesn't matter.
That's what that was. Never mind.
The Skyway.
Oh,
yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah, it should be a law.
That was a great, great attraction.
I'm referring to the Disneyland one in particular.
I like
the one in Florida. The 90 degrees.
The one in Florida was cool because you would make that 90-degree turn, and I can't think of any other Skyway that I've been on that did that.
In fact, it was the first.
Oh, was it? Oh,
in fact,
I
hear they had to talk to the Board of Maritime and get special permission.
Oh, stop. You're so silly.
Well, what about counting changes made to rides? Like, would you want the Haunted Mansion back before The Bride or
no.
Pirates before the
they
newer
built it,
stuff?
Yeah.
I can't think of any current changes that I think should be undone.
Tarzan's Treehouse, even?
The Pirates is a good one. While I have no problem with the way it is now,
right.
I would happily flip a switch and take it back to the way it was back in, you know, say the early 90s.
And I'd happily switch Innoventions at Disneyland to America's
Things.
Well, yeah, anybody would, I would hope.
Or Carousel of Progress, even better.
Not for me.
Really?
I really loved America's Things.
I loved America's Things, but that was one of my favorite Disneyland attractions when I used to go. I mean, I still go, but when, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
But I think Carousel Progress defines classic.
But of course,
but
if you brought
so
back
fun.
America Sings, you'd have to remove all that stuff from Splash Mountain.
Pop goes the weasel.
We were talking earlier about Superstar Lame-O, another one of my favorite attraction nicknames is America Sang.
Yeah.
I love that.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I really wish they could take Mike and Sully to the rescue and turn it back into Superstar Limo. And I'm like, yeah, you're going to win some fans over with that one.
That's where I thought you were going.
No, I'm not
DCA
going there.
To the parking lot.
How about?
No. Oh, that's just cold.
Oh, that's
I just funny. Couldn't resist. I had to say it.
Oh, bring back your parking.
That's hitting below the belt.
Hey, it's raining now.
It is pouring out there.
Fanboy. You got some news on the movie front?
Yes. Disney entered a first look deal with Stan Lee's, not Stan Lee, the Great Big Book of Everything kid, Stan Lee, Stan the Man Lee, Spider-Man's creator, entertainment company, POW Entertainment. Get it? Like
POW.
POW.
Bang. Splat.
Which was Batman, not a Stan Lee creation, but hey, whatever works for him. To create all sorts of entertainment for the Walt Disney Company. It seems like it's really focused on home entertainment. I know that POW, Bang, Wow, does a lot in the direct-to-video market right now. They're probably looking at going beyond that, but looks like Disney will very much be interested in releasing his home video content. Obviously he's over 80, so, you know, I mean, you're not looking at 15-year creative flow.
Might be.
Well, he has that superpower. he's obviously creative, you know, creating Spider-Man, the Incredible Hulk, and such. And I hope, you know, it's great to see that the Disney company is still looking at bringing creative folks in, and especially Stan Lee. It's obvious, you know, he has a superheroes tend to make easy franchises, so maybe bringing some new franchises now that Pirates has not
run its course.
Well, we can hope.
That's pretty exciting. Now, this is strictly new characters. I mean,
right, this isn't Spider-Man. This has nothing to do with Marvel, which Stan Lee left a while ago, I guess.
Cool. That's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, hey, anytime we get to... I mean, it's better than that... what's that Adam and Eve story that Disney optioned a spec script on?
I don't know. What is it?
It's like Adam and Eve in the modern day, and they break up, and they find out that the devil's behind it. I don't know. It sounded like a family comedy. Although there's a cool one that they just optioned. It was an untitled movie where it's adults, 30-somethings, that try to find a treasure that they couldn't find that when they were kids. Like, they look for it, like they were Goonies or something, and then they grew up, and now they're going on another treasure hunt.
Is this going to be National Treasure 3?
It sounded like it, but hey, I'm all for treasure hunts as long as it doesn't involve pirates.
Ow.
Well, you know, maybe that would have made Pirates better if they actually went to go find some treasure.
Didn't they? They did in the first one, didn't they?
Yeah.
They were kind of looking
for... Well, they looked for the dead man's chest in the second one. Not quite treasure, but it was in a treasure. It was like in a chest.
But it still wasn't exciting.
Back to pirates bashing again. I can't avoid it no matter what.
Here's your chance. You are the man now. You can speak well of pirates, and all we can do is sit and listen because it's time for the Captain's Challenge.
Time for the Captain's Challenge, eh? Okay, well, again, ex-Pirate Princess X, or Pirate Princess with fancy X stuff. At any rate, the second post is correct, because I remember reading it was like, Alan Silvestri. It's like, whoa, no, that's not quite right. But the answer to the question was, it was Klaus Badelt, some foreign name.
What was the question?
The question was, who was credited to do the score of Curse of the Black Pearl? And the fascinating story behind that is, like, there was 6 different people involved. And Hans Zimmer actually wrote most of the main themes. But yet somehow he got credited for it. Or it should be like 6 different people.
Some union thing, I'm sure.
I heard Alan Smithy did the score for Dead Man's Chest.
Well, Hans Zimmer did the next two. So,
you know, in the movie Pirates, they use a special kind of wood.
Hollywood,
yeah. Okay.
Well, actually, some of the backstory behind the Pearl in like the original script was that it was made out of wood from coffins. Because coffins float well in water, apparently. So it was made from black wood from coffins.
That was made out of black pearls.
No, it's called the Black Pearl.
Oh.
Oompa oyster.
It's not oompa, it's
opa.
It's not oompa?
No, it's not oompa loompa.
It's not oompa loompa doopity oyster. It's opa oyster.
This is from SeaWorld, and I'm guessing every place in the world that has the... buy an oyster and
well,
get a pearl?
Well, I'm sure it depends on what region.
But that's my question. What is opa? Is this just some funny way of saying open? Or?
Well, the ones at Downtown Disney ring the bell. Mm-hmm. They all have something.
What do the ones in Japan at Epcot do? Do they say something? I think there's just a bell there, too.
Isn't it a Mediterranean theme at SeaWorld? Right. And I think that's kind of I think that's something that's a declaration in the Mediterranean.
Oh, that's true, because they break plates as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think it's Greek-inspired.
All right.
It's all Mediterranean to me.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
All right, mateys, are you ready? Hands on the buzzers that don't exist.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
All right, on this top, because I mentioned Country Bears earlier as a attraction I'd like to be resurrected, not to mention it somehow was mentioned last week, I believe, because Rebecca's cameo. Who supplied the voice for the main child character in the movie. Who's
Fanboy. I mean, Doobie.
Fanboy.
Haley Joel Osment.
You are correct.
I'm the winner. I think this is my first time.
Yay.
No, I think you've gotten it once. I think you've gotten it once before.
I am the champion.
I think it's because Fanboy didn't give you your medal. And since then, we've just completely eliminated that concept out of the whole thing.
I can't believe I said Fanboy.
But, okay.
I have a question, then.
What?
What does Haley Joel Osment's sister do for the Walt Disney Company?
Sings.
No.
We could leave this for the...
Wait,
I know.
Teenager in the Disney realm that doesn't sing?
Yep.
Shocking.
She doesn't sing. Or at least she hasn't yet.
She will.
All right.
So what is it that Haley Joel Osment's sister is known for in the realm of Disney entertainment?
Do you know?
No, I have no idea.
I don't know.
Oh, okay, cool.
Well?
Oh, I thought we were going to leave that as the question.
Oh, are we going to do that? We could.
Well, it's not the fanboy challenge. I don't want to
steal. Oh, we could do that. I like this question better than the one I had.
Okay.
So
next week we will give you the answer.
So there you go.
Oh, you're supposed to post on the boards, right?
Yes, you're supposed to post.
Right under the ex-pirate Princess X.
This is a race to see.
All righty. We're going to have some fun now.
We will.
For we invite you to join our friend and host, Mickey Mouse. No. We're going to talk about something.
Because it won't be. That's just your way of rubbing it in, that it won't be playing while I'm at Walt Disney World, isn't it? At Disneyland.
That delights me to no end. No, it doesn't. That's mean.
Yeah. That is mean.
That's mean. I'm sorry.
I don't delight when Light Motors Actions close at the Disney MGM
Studio. Fanboy, accept my humble apology.
I accept it.
Thank you.
Now punch him in the face.
What?
I don't know. You had your chance.
Anyway, Essential Disneyland. We've talked about this the past couple of weeks. We're going to play the voicemail again and get into this fun subject.
I'm glad you waited.
Hey, Podcast Quartet. My name is Grant, and I am out here in Portland, Oregon. And before I dive into this question I have, I wanted to stop and thank you guys first and foremost. I just recently found your podcast online, and I have to admit they've been sort of a godsend for me. I work two late-night shifts per week, and what I do is I download these podcasts, and then I listen to them throughout the evening, and not only do they get me caught up on a lot of the rumors and a lot of the info that's out there, but it helps to kill the time quite a bit, so I certainly thank you for that. My question is, I've been thinking a lot, and it sort of was stemmed from your initial question about what your favorite attractions were at Disneyland, or your favorite dark ride attraction, for example. And I started to think, what are the two, three, or four events or attractions that somebody requires in order to feel that they've had a complete experience at a Disney theme park? For me, and I know this will sound silly, but believe me, I have my reasons. For me, a trip to Disneyland, say, is not complete without Splash Mountain, Fantasmic, and Casey Jr. For me, if I can do those three things, I feel as if I've had the complete Disney experience. So I guess that's really my question for you, and I just wanted to roll that out to everybody. What do you think are those three or four things that really sum up and experience, and I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say. All right, thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Grant. Casey Jr., really?
Casey Jr.'s coming down the track.
That's one of my favorites.
It's one of my favorites.
What about yeah. Storybook Land? Do those, I mean, they sort of count because they're sort of around the area?
Since you got to see the same stuff, you'd much rather see it in a train. Than
really?
On a low, oh, yeah.
It depends on your boat captain.
And given Disney's love of trains, you can't go to Disneyland without getting on a train. And if you're going to get on a train,
you might as well get on
Big
Thunder Mountain.
You might
want to
go see the Grand Canyon Diorama in Primeval World.
Primeval World. The Primeval World, not Whirl.
Anyway,
I said Primeval World.
Yeah, you did.
You get it? It's the Primeval World Diorama. And it's Primeval World Dinorama.
Yes.
I remember when I learned that. That's actually one of the more clever things I've ever seen at a Disney theme park. But let's get to answering the question. We got quite a bit of response on this on the boards. We'll read some of those as well. But let's start with Captain.
Captain?
Captain John, what are your four?
All right. Well, three of them are right next to each other, so I find it pretty simple. Jungle Cruise, Indiana Jones, Pirates of the Caribbean, of course, and taking the Grand Circle Tour around on the train, all of which at nighttime. preferably.
Now, for the Grand Circle Tour around the train, which station do you get on at?
You get on at Main Street.
Okay.
Well, that's sort of inconvenient. You can't get off in New Orleans Square and do all those three attractions. You go all the way around and walk up, go through the bottleneck that is Adventureland.
No, see, you do it right before you're leaving. Your finale is going around. Yes. Or you start it off that way.
Be careful when you get on that train at the end of the night, because sometimes they're taking it off on, and then that'll really...
And then you get the Grand Circle Tour of the Small World Promenade.
But we digress. Rebecca, what are your four?
In thinking about it, it was like, is this the four when I'm, like, taking people to the park, or is this my four? So I decided to go with my four. When I go to Disneyland, these are the four things that I like to do that make me feel like I've been to Disneyland. Billy Hill and the Hillbillies.
Oh.
Can't go to Disneyland without seeing Billy Hill and the Hillbillies for me. The fireworks. I love the fireworks at Disneyland. Always have. Whether it's Fantasmic or, you know, Fancy in Sky or Believe, just have to have some sort of fireworks. And then Big Thunder Mountain used to be a big one, used to be like the big one for me. Not as much anymore as it used to be, but I still, it's like one of my favorite rides at Disneyland as far as thrills go. And then Pinocchio, the dark ride. I liked Pinocchio.
Pinocchio!
So I guess for me, those are the ones where I'm like, yep, I've been to Disneyland because I hit those four.
Yeah, I can see that.
In looking at what some of the readers wrote, I see that Schnebs is somebody I'd want to go to Disneyland with, because he writes his four are sitting on a park bench eating popcorn in the Enchanted Tiki Room, a Grand Circle Tour on the Disneyland Railroad,
and an
evening ride on the Mark Twain. And he adds,
during Fantasmic.
Not the most exciting things to do, granted, but those are the Disneyland experiences that I enjoy most. And I have to say that part of what's really cool about going to the theme parks is taking your time and enjoying the ambiance. And so Schneb sees Disneyland the same way I would, taking your time.
Well, after hearing all these answers, it really makes me question mine.
Uh-oh.
So I'm going to answer it a little differently, though. Rather than just give what I think I need to do, I want to talk about what I would recommend to someone else who was visiting Disneyland for the very first time. What I say, you need to do this to really get what Disney's all about. I would recommend, as painful as it is, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Gasp.
Fantasmic. Peter Pan, because you got to have a dark ride, and Pirates doesn't count.
Oh, it's across the line right there.
And the Matterhorn.
Fantasyland or Tomorrowland?
The Fantasyland version first. No, the Fantasyland side.
Definitely. When it was in Fantasyland, or what?
Back up. The Tomorrowland side of the Matterhorn when the Matterhorn is in Fantasyland.
Okay.
Ooh, we got lightning outside just now.
The Matterhorn, simply because it's so, first of all, it's so revolutionary. I mean, we don't know that now, almost 50 years later. But the first tubular steel track, the first roller coaster to have more than one track one car on the track at the same time. And it's still running now, all these years later. It's pretty revolutionary stuff.
It hasn't been the same since something got into that whole attraction.
Since they removed the hay bale to replace it with water?
Yeah, the first roller coaster overlay with the addition of Harold.
Well, I mean, they've had to rebuild that ride, like, how many times?
But it's still the Matterhorn.
No, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's just
no,
funny to think.
Of course.
It's, like, revolutionary, but yet you have to rebuild it, like, every couple of years.
I'm just glad they took that big star down. That looks so tacky.
Your list isn't that different than Utah Josh. He says that he suggests four types of attractions to have a real Disneyland experience. So he says it would be fireworks or Fantasmic, and then a dark ride, and he said he'd suggest Pinocchio, and then a classic e-ticket, Pirates or Haunted Mansion, and then one of the thrill rides, Indy, Space, or Splash Mountain. And so he said, you know, if somebody came to Disneyland, that would be the checklist that he'd give them to make sure they had a Disneyland experience.
Without a doubt. How about you, fanboy?
Well, the experiences I feel like I need to do every time I go to Disneyland would have to be the Mickey and Friends tram, bag check, turnstiles, and probably one of the restrooms. I'm not specific as to which one, although I try to avoid that Prince and Princess one over in Fantasyland.
You're confused.
Dude, that one. No, that one's always such a mess to get in and out of. Oh.
But seriously.
You don't get a hand stamp with the scary ink?
Well, yeah, I get that too.
Yeah.
But
that's counting too much, yeah.
I was only allowed four. Haunted Mansion and Pirates. It's a Small World and Space Mountain.
So you'd say on your trip there next week, there's a good chance you will do all four of those.
To equal the perfect Disney experience.
I will undoubtedly do all four of those.
Wow.
But I mean, I won't be there just one day.
I know, but still.
Yeah.
Wow.
I do everything when I go. Except, I mean, everything I like, and I'm not going to.
See, if I was. Wow. If I was doing a checklist for somebody else, though, I think I'd replace the train. Like, I'd keep everything. But I'd replace the train with one of the Fantasyland dark rides, like Mr. Toad, I think is what I
would do. And I do believe Fantasmic is an essential experience. It's grown away from that because I can never see it, and I don't want to depress myself.
Vegas Pixie on our boards wrote Space Mountain for Tomorrowland. She said she wanted to choose something from four different lands. So Space Mountain for Tomorrowland, Peter Pan for Fantasyland, Jungle Cruise for Adventureland, and Pirates for New Orleans Square.
Oh, yeah.
She then asked, why doesn't Doobie like Pirates? So I feel an obligation to answer that question. Much like the second and third Pirates films, it's long, it's boring, it's a period piece, and right next door is the greatest attraction ever built by mankind, so why bother with it?
What, the Disney Gallery?
A little bit farther next door. Tweedledee and Tweedledum over there.
Tweedledum and Tweedledumber.
Haunted Mansion is probably the greatest attraction ever created.
Wow. I can't, you know, it closed on Wednesday.
Here at the Magic Kingdom.
At the Magic Kingdom for the, as they like to call it, the Disneyland makeover. So
the extreme Disneyland makeover? Will they move a bus?
I have a question. Have you noticed that Disneyland and Disney World love using the term extreme makeover ever since that show came on ABC?
Yes,
the extreme castle makeover, the submarine voyage goes under an extreme makeover. That, out of all the ABC shows, I think that one has the biggest presence at the Disney
parks. Well, it's better than saying our makeover is lost or something.
We're just lucky National Bingo Night didn't take off.
Yep, I
do. Or our refurbishment is like anatomically correct or something, or Grey's Anatomy.
Well, this topic, the four main attractions, you know, for an experience, really hit home this past week because I had some friends visiting from Virginia, and they were fortunate enough to have a cast member sign them in and, you know, whatnot, so they were able to park hop for that day that they were visiting Walt Disney World. And in that day, they each had what they wanted to see, and so we ended up jumping between three parks. And we got to the parks, I'd say, around noon, and we left Walt Disney World around 7:30. And what was important to them was we went to Haunted Mansion, we went to Pirates, we then left, went over to Animal Kingdom, where we rode the Kilimanjaro Safari, and did the jam and watched the tail end of the Jammin' Jungle Parade. And then finally, we ended up at Epcot, where Mission Space and the new Nemo ride were the key to their trip. And it was just really fascinating to go with people. I mean, they knew the parks. They don't come here very often, but they knew the parks, and they knew what they wanted to see. I was just along for the ride. Mm-hmm. And it was just fun to see what to them was, okay, this is what I definitely want to do since I only have this one day to kind of get an overview of Walt Disney World. And the place that they really want to go back to and see more of was Animal Kingdom.
I hear that a lot. That's like a park where, while there's not a lot to do, people like to go to.
They said they found it, because they're here on vacation, and they said they found that one kind of refreshing, rejuvenating. They really just were energized, you know, being there, and they wanted to just, you know, kind of immerse themselves in it some more. And so, you know, hopefully I'm trying to talk them into coming back again sooner than they were initially planning so they can see more of the theme parks.
Right.
But it was just fun to see, you know, what was important to them as people who, you know, don't get here very often.
They get energized because the park keeps going and going.
If they go on Star Tours, they're energized.
I'm curious. That's happy over there having fun with his squeaker.
Because the lightning and the thunder's got him a little.
Yeah, we got some storm. But I'm curious if maybe these lists might be different from what they were as a child. For example, as a child, I can't even remember what was important to me, but I do know what I did every single time, and that was Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. My mom, we always did that.
Great.
I think it was because the walk from the tram to the turnstile tired my mom out, and that was the first attraction we came to. But
See, that's gone back with what I'd bring back. I'd bring back the Lincoln before he got in your face.
Oh, you must live.
And those flies around your heads.
I love the free haircut.
See, I can't really think of what I would have liked, like, as a kid, because my mom was, like, commando mom. I mean, she researched and read stuff, and we had, like, an attack plan when we went to, when we went to Disneyland before the annual pass era, when then it didn't matter because you were coming back next week. But when we used to come four times a year, my mom had it all mapped out. She knew exactly where we would get there at open. We had a game plan. We knew what was going on. So we pretty much, we hit everything we wanted to see. There wasn't, you know, any need to worry about, am I going to get to see my favorite? So I was trying to think if there was something where when we drove up, if I would have been sad to see it on that dreaded list, and America Sings would definitely have been the one for me.
You know, that's the one you always talk about.
Yeah, for me, I mean, I was only open once when I went, but America Sings was one we always did.
Mm-hmm.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
The Submarine Voyage.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jungle Cruise. And we would go on it every time, and every time we'd be like, well, we don't like that one. And we would, for some reason, we would just always go back to it.
My dad was a big Jungle Cruise fan.
Another one I remember always loving to hit when I was a kid, and it's definitely not on my list anymore, is the Autopia. Being able to get behind the wheel of those smelly, loud, rough cars was such a thrill as a child. Is there any ride like that, that is universal as that, that everyone loved as a child that probably could care less about as an adult?
Maybe Dumbo.
Dumbo.
Yeah. Oh, good example.
I'm sure there are, I mean, I still love Dumbo. The one that for me is the teacups. I just can't do them anymore. When I was little, I loved. I'd head over, straight over there, you know, because my mom's attack plan was Fantasyland first. Gates open, straight to Fantasyland. We get Fantasyland done in half an hour. Because there wouldn't be very long lines later in the day. Much more difficult. But, so teacups were early in the day. Now if I did teacups early in the day, I'd be out. We'd be going back home because I get sick now riding them.
For me, Spaceship Earth. I mean, I still love Spaceship Earth, don't get me wrong, but that was one I really enjoyed going on. Mm-hmm. Maybe it just doesn't have the repeat value, but it's not something I'm like, oh, got to go on Spaceship Earth like it used to be.
Huh.
Talking about this reminded me of the People Mover was a great one that I always liked. Even though it was sort of surprising because like when I was that young that I would actually get that much of a kick of just going around really slowly.
But you gotta enter the game grid of Tron.
And the stormtrooper would like try to shoot you and stuff, even though it's like a little mannequin. But I just remember that later.
People Mover was awesome.
Oh, that's funny.
When Star Tours came around.
I totally forgot about those. The stormtroopers in the shop.
So, thanks again, Grant, for that question. I really enjoyed that question. We're definitely gonna revisit this with the four parks out here in Florida, as well as Disney's California Adventures. So please keep the posts coming on the boards. DCA, Magic Kingdom, Disney MGM Studios, Epcot, and Disney's Animal Kingdom, and we will continue talking about this in future weeks.
Also, your favorite Disney Quest attractions.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what about the cruise line?
Oh, yeah.
What do you have to do to make it a cruise line experience?
Typhoon Lagoon, Blizzard Beach.
Yeah, totally.
Eat.
Winter Summerland.
Which Downtown holes are your Disney. Favorite?
Downtown Disney.
West Side, Pleasure Island, and Marketplace.
Queen Mary? No.
No, not anymore.
Not anymore.
ABC, no.
The shark has been jumped. podcast at laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408. As always, before we sign off today, I will go around our table of experts to get one final comment.
Which table would that be? Did you have another one that I was unaware of?
And this week, we're starting with Rebecca.
Well, over the past few days, I've been updating LaughingPlace.com list of upcoming events, adding the various DVD releases and whatnot. And I learned that the Muppet Show second season is coming out on DVD later this year.
Woohoo!
So I know Muppet fans are going to be very excited about that. I just had a Muppet fan the other day ask me if Disney was ever going to get season two out there. And then I also saw that the Playhouse Disney in Concert series that's coming to Disney MGM Studios this autumn during their preschool travel time is adding the group Choo Choo Soul, which apparently is a new addition to the Disney Channel's Playhouse Disney overall anyway. So it'll be fun because I'm not familiar with them. So hopefully I'll be able to stop by MGM Studio, Disney MGM, and see the new Choo Choo Soul. So, I don't know, lots of fun things.
Is that called Choo Choo Soul? Like S-O-U-L?
Yeah.
Is this like a takeoff on Soul Train?
I know very, very little of it. I was going to check out Playhouse Disney and see what's up with that. So.
All right, fanboy.
Well, I know a lot of folks don't care, but some that care will care a lot. there's a lot of college program cast members that work at Walt Disney World, and the first thing they usually ask each other from for years to come after is, first, where did they work? And, you know, like, they can say Jungle Cruise or what have you. And then the second question is also Vista or Chatham, because Vista Way, the original, I guess it's not a dorm, but apartment complex, and then Chatham, the newer one that's located by Little Lake Bryan, for those that are familiar with the area. Well, on Tuesday, Walt Disney World broke ground on a new cast college program complex, which will be opening sometime next year, and it'll include the classrooms as well as parking spaces, and all of them will have high-speed internet access. I'm pretty sure the other ones would too, but what do I know? I've never been a college program cast member. But a lot of folks go through the college program. Some just don't stay some don't stay down here. They move on with their lives. But usually more and more Disney fans have that as part of their life experience. So this is really, there's probably going to be – this complex is going to affect a lot more people than some of the attractions will, because they'll be around for a time to come. So those college program cast members coming next year and beyond can stay at the new Patterson Court, which for those CPs that would care, or former CPs, is located right next to Chatham.
And I hear that's actually named after the famous Dr. Albert Court.
Touche.
Is that an indication of an expansion of the college program numbers, or is it just to accommodate what they already have?
I think there's three places, actually. The Commons is used for international program.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they're busting at the seams as well, as
okay.
It is. And it's also creating a situation where they can't refurbish existing apartment complexes because they can't take out the inventory.
Right.
I know that there's a contractual cap as to how many college program cast members there can be, but Disney World's expanding, so they're probably looking at expanding the program as well.
Right.
But I think more just to sort of ease the burden that of the housing crunch on the college program, because they've been using treehouse villas and
mm-hmm.
every which other place. Also, a lot of the internships don't provide housing, and maybe now they can because they have the space.
You know, what's cool. Ironic is Disney World is providing low-income housing near the resort.
That is funny. Did anyone catch The Daily Show last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, too bad it wasn't.
That wasn't funny.
Yeah. So, you know what's interesting? Our podcast has something in common with The Daily Show.
For those that didn't catch it, The Daily Show did a bit yesterday on the Disneyland Resort Anaheim SOAR thing that's going on. It was okay. Not too bad.
You can view it on the Comedy Central website. You can see the bit that they did where they interviewed the Anaheim councilwoman and a sociologist and did their usual Daily Show comedic spin on the dispute between Disney and the city of Anaheim. And it is not family friendly.
The comedy stylings of The Daily Show.
Rather mature humor.
CJ.
Did Jump In with Pop-Ups go on Disney Channel yet? The pop version of Jump In?
Oh, I haven't seen that. Oh, that'd be fun.
I've just been too distracted by the upcoming screening of Johnny Capahala.
Yeah, I've seen so many ads for both of those
totally.
On the back. So it's like, hey, I want to see Jump In with Pop-Up Trivia.
That'd be fun.
On Saturday night, they're premiering the music video of What Time Is It? From High School Musical
Dose
2, as I like to call it.
Part duh.
As a Cam Jack Sparrow costumer, as I've mentioned before, currently the El Capitan has released some replicas of his rings, which will be on the shelves in the theme parks relatively soon. So if you're into pirate stuff, keep an eye out. Keep a weather eye open, as they say. Our matey. And so that means for Doobie and Fanboy to get out of town.
I'm into pirates.
I have nothing against pirates, just Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, and Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
Okay. I have two items before we close. First, Rebecca, ex-Pirate Princess X, writes, Honey Dukes is the name of the candy shop in Hogsmeade that Harry takes the tunnel to in Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh, okay.
All right, so there you go.
And second...
Thank you.
I got an email from a guy named Bob Gurr, who is a... who is a Disney legend, and just the fact that he actually heard any... 2 minutes of the podcast amazes me.
Yeah,
but I'd say so.
I don't think Nixon has. Sorry, continue.
That's funny. Which brings back to Bob Gurr, because Bob Gurr is still Nixon. Oh, man, you're just, your comedy is layered.
That's still not funny.
Like onions, but that would be Shrek, so I can't mention that on the Disney show.
Bob Gurr was listening to what we talked about with the Imagineering changes a couple weeks ago, and he wrote us this. As to the opinions expressed as regards to the Imagineering changes, Rebecca's views are pretty close to the reality of the current situation. Last June, four of us legendary Imagineers had a two-hour lunch with Bob Iger, where we got a clear picture of how he wants to smooth out all the Walt Disney Company business units. So yes, this all comes from Iger. I know most of the participants well. I worked with Craig Russo in Tokyo Disneyland from the day he arrived at WED. He later worked for Gurr Design Incorporated on the Flying Saucer project, then with me at Sequoia Creative before he returned to Disney. He and I worked together in Korea on a special project. Craig is the absolute best person in the business, never negative, always leading the team to productive results with everyone eager to work with him. He's never been political, always carefully balanced, almost an Iger operating philosophy. Bruce, like me, is also a pilot, flying out of the same airport where I keep my aircraft. He and Tom are good friends on and off campus. Both are brilliant thinkers. Don and Wing have long careers in the brick-and-mortar business. Tony has always had the Walt feeling for what is the true heart of Disneyland. The speed of current projects, Pirate Lair, speaks for itself as to the present operational health of WDI, Bob. And just to clear up some of those first names, Don would be Don Goodman, Wing is Wing Chow, Tom is Tom Fitzgerald, and Tony would be Tony Baxter. So thanks for that additional information, Bob, and once again, thanks for listening.
Yeah, that was very intriguing. That's impressive. Bob Gurr.
That's cool.
No, it was nice to know, because it's difficult sometimes to sit here on the outside commenting, and you wonder, you know, if you're just grasping at nothing. But thanks for letting me know that this time at least my perception was on the money. That's a good feeling.
Yeah, I'm shocked. Rebecca's right, like always.
No.
Well, it could have been worse. I could have been right. That's what that happened.
But that was cool. I'm glad to get that insight, because we mentioned that we don't really know some of the names that have been promoted now within WDI. They weren't all people that we were aware of. So it's nice to hear from Bob about who he worked with, and to get that vote of confidence there. That, as a Disney fan, that makes you, you know, really excited.
Speaking of words, did you hear about what Anthony Daniels said?
Oh, yeah. How could we leave that out? Go ahead.
Yeah, this is cool.
Anthony Daniels was, someone asked him about Star Tours, and he's like, oh, yeah, I just finished, he loves the ride, and I just finished working on the new one. And everyone's like, whoa, what?
Stop the presses.
Wow.
And so, was
this during the weekends or at the convention?
Actually, I think it was not at the celebration nor at Star Wars weekends.
Oh,
although
wow.
He's coming, and I'm going to be there.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
And I think it was at some other, like, WonderCon or something like that.
Yeah. Oh,
but,
wow.
But dang, I mean.
That's exciting.
And he knows his stuff, because he's like an android.
Yeah, totally.
Been around
he
forever.
Can speak
he
how
speaks
many
a bazillion different languages.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
including
know, just,
bocce.
And he's not even. This has got to be less complicated than programming binary load lifters.
Well, so if you approach him and he says, I can't say anything on that subject, you know it must be true.
Yeah. Geek Booter is about to explode over here.
That's exciting. Oh, how cool.
Podcast at laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408.
Hey, where do you guys want to go on a new Star Tours adventure? Let us know.
But hey,
another planet, moon.
Maybe after he said this, they wiped his memory.
Uh-oh, that'd be bad.
That wouldn't be good.
Wow.
Nope.
Okay, sorry, we could go on now.
That was not the film you were working on.
That's funny.
Well, does that work on droids, though?
No, I don't know.
I wonder if Mel Brooks should do like a parody on Star Tours for Shrek, for like SeaWorld. Like Space Tour. Well, I guess that would.
Space Tours?
You know, and have like Joan Rivers.
Back to our regular.
You done?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Back to our regular
scheduled
program.
I'm about to close. Well, thanks again for listening this week. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, my name is Doobie, and you've been listening to the Lasting Place podcast. If you didn't, I'm Rush Limbaugh, and this is the Excellent in Broadcasting Network.